Good morning, family. Good morning. All right. I have the privilege and the pleasure of introducing one of my besties, one of my absolute faves. I've got like a lot of pages here. So, Dr. Melanie Melly Howard is our Associate Provost and Dean of the College of Arts and Sciences. You won. Did I get it all? Associate Provost and Dean of the College of Arts and Sciences. Okay. She is this rare mix of scholar and sister friend. She's wise, she's witty, and just the appropriate amount of spicy. That's an East Coast thing. Now, if you know Melly, you already know she's up running before the sun even starts stretching. She doesn't talk about discipline, she lives it. And as like the great psalmist, great writer, of one of the greatest writers of all times, Beyonce, she said, "I woke up like this." That's how Melly looks at like 6:30 a.m. She really did, y'all, because excellence doesn't start at 8 a.m. It starts with who you are before the world even wakes up. But here's what I love, one of the things I really love is her story. Melly, and she told us this, so I'm not snitching. She said this last year in chapel, so if you weren't there, grab the tapes. Melly has been rejected from more jobs than half of us have even applied for in this room. And you're like, dang, that's messed up, Chandra. That's what you love? No. Here's what I love. Look at her. That's what God does, right? Every no was just a setup for this yes. This yes right here. Because when God has his hand on your life, don't miss your shout. When God has his hand on your life, no committee can cancel it, no timeline can delay it, and no system can stop it. Okay, you missed your shout, but that's okay. If you've ever seen her around campus, you know she walks with this quiet confidence that says, "I belong here, and so do you." She celebrates our wins, her wins, your wins. She cheers for others, and she reminds us that your faith and your mind can both be strong at the same time. So this morning, we're celebrating a little holy girl power. So us girls, there you go. Because Melly is living proof that women of faith can be fierce and funny and full of the Spirit all at once. She doesn't just teach the world the word, she lives it. So come on, Simpson, lean in, lift your voice, and show some love for my bestie, my friend, my sister, Melly Howard.
And amen. Thank you, Sister Chandra. That was the word. We can go home now. It has been preached. Thank you. Woo. Give a hand for Chandra. Oh, man. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Well, hey, so good to be with you this morning. And I want to start with a challenge. You see, I was having a conversation the other day with someone, and they said, you know, I don't think that college students today really understand advertisements. You know, they pay for the premium subscriptions. So they don't need to listen to the ads. They don't want to see the ads. They don't want to hear the ads. And I thought, really? Is that true? So, okay, we're going to put this to a little test, okay? What I'm going to do, I am going to give you the beginning of a couple of advertising slogans, and I'm going to ask you to fill them in nice and loud to see, yeah, is this true or not? So, okay, are you ready? First one, America runs on. Yes, y'all win. Okay, so for the older folks in the room, this was Dunkin' Donuts before they took out the donuts. Yes, beautiful. Okay, we are off to a good start. Okay, here we go. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. I'm loving it, which is McDonald's. Oh, man, okay. Yeah, they're easy. Okay, we're going to get harder. We're going to get harder. All right, here we go. You're going to have to sing this one in response, so get the vocal cords warmed up. The best part of waking up. Beautiful, beautiful. We should start a choir. Have I told you about the choir that Simpson has? We have a great choir. Go join the choir. Y'all got the voices for it. Yes. Okay. This one I suspect might be a little bit on the older side. So we're going to see how we do. I think some of our faculty and staff and trustees are over here. So y'all might need to tune in here. So here we go. Another song. Give me a break. Give me a break. Break me off a piece of that. Yes. Beautiful. And I heard it especially loud over here. Well done. Thank y'all. Okay. Last one. Hungry? Grab a Snickers. Beautiful. I love it. Okay, so I feel justified. I feel justified that we are still very conversant in advertising slogans, that these have made their way into our minds, whether we like it or not. And I also find it really funny that these are advertisements for food. Like food, the thing that every single one of us needs. We really need to advertise food. Okay. But what I'd like to suggest this morning is that it is important to pay attention to the food, to the sleep, to the bodies that God has given us and that God wants to use to heal us, restore us, and empower us. So today's message is the way that God can use the powerful importance of a nap and a snack. Amen. Amen. All right. So today we're going to be taking a look at the Old Testament prophet Elijah. So I know Dr. Middlebrook is here. Dr. Middlebrook, have they heard about Elijah in Old Testament? Not yet. Okay. Will they? They will. Okay. So if you haven't yet taken Dr. Middlebrook's class, you're going to hear it. And you're going to hear about Elijah soon. Okay, let me give you a little background on Elijah. Elijah is a prophet of the Lord. Elijah is not afraid of confrontation. He is the one prophet of Yahweh, the God of Israel, and he is ready to go to bat for what he believes in. So early on in Elijah's story in the Bible, we find out that it is Elijah, one dude, one prophet of the Lord, Elijah. And that at the same time, there is this other group. There is this group of 450 prophets of the other ancient Near Eastern god, Baal. So 450 and one. Now look, I don't think those are great odds, but Elijah, no problem with this, right? Like, he is seeing this as the rivalry of the century. This is like the, Caitlin Clark versus Angel Reese of his day. This is the 49ers versus the Seahawks. This is the Messi versus Ronaldo, the Dodgers versus the Yankees. Who? I also need to confess here that I had to get my husband's help with every single one of those athletic references. I don't follow the sports ball, but I get the sense that those were right, so I will tell him that he did a great job. Props to my husband, Jeremiah, for supporting me. Okay, so we've got Elijah versus the 450 prophets of Baal. Not great odds, but Elijah doesn't see a problem. And so Elijah comes into this and is like, hey, y'all, you know what? I bet my God can beat your God. Want to find out? 450 prophets. Well, yeah, there are way more of us. Bring it on. So the competition becomes, they're going to both create a sacrifice to their God. They're going to bring a bowl that they are going to sacrifice, and then they are not going to light the sacrifice on fire. That would have been typical. Instead, they are going to pray to their respective gods to see which God provides fire. So the prophets of Baal are up first. No problem. You got the bowl. The prophets are there. You know, okay, bring the fire. Come on, bring the fire. They're praying. They're going on. And Elijah here, over in the sidelines, man, not a shy guy. Oh, huh. Looks like you don't have any fire over there. Ooh, how about that? Oh, hey, maybe your God is asleep. Maybe your God actually went out on a journey and he got lost somewhere. But yeah, it looks like y'all are not doing so hot. Fire doesn't come. Now it's Elijah's turn. I'm just like, okay, no problem. I got this. Elijah brings the bowl, says, you know what? Let's actually pour water over that thing. They pour water over that thing. No, that wasn't enough water. Let's do a couple more buckets of water. Two more times, more water on the sacrifice. Elijah prays to the God of Israel, and boom, the fire from heaven comes. The God of Israel has persevered. Elijah is not a shy guy. And so this is the background of our story today. We see a man who's not afraid to back down, a man who is not afraid to preach the word. And yet, listen what comes next. The news about this goes to the king, King Ahab, not a great king in the history. It goes to the king's wife, Queen Jezebel. Lots of problems with her, too. You see, Queen Jezebel had all of the other prophets of the Lord killed. And Elijah has just put himself firmly in her crosshairs. And it's at this point when Elijah hears that Jezebel knows what he's done, that it sinks in and he becomes afraid. And that's where we pick up our story for today. We begin to see in today's story that strong, brave, in-your-face prophet can be just as scared and hurt and afraid as all of the rest of us. And so we'll pick up today from 1 Kings chapter 19, starting in verse 4. This is what the text says. Elijah, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a solitary broom tree. He asked that he might die. It is enough now, O Lord. Take away my life. I am no better than my ancestors. Then he lay down under the broom tree and fell asleep. And I wonder if you've been there. I wonder if you have had nights when, like Elijah, you have cried out, I can't do this anymore. It is not worth going on. I wonder if Elijah, when he laid down to sleep, laid down crying himself to sleep. And I wonder this because I've been there. I have been where Elijah was at in this moment. You see, when I was growing up, when I was 8 years old, my biological father, who was the most healthy man imaginable, I got my running habit from him. Incredibly healthy, at age 40, was diagnosed with cancer and passed away. At age 8, I didn't have the capacity to know how to process that kind of loss. I didn't have the capacity to think through what it meant to continue to be somebody without a father. I didn't have the capacity to go to church and listen to the pastor tell me that God is a father. What is that? I didn't know. I didn't have a model for that. And as I struggled to try to process that hurt and that trauma, I couldn't. And at age 14, I started a habit of cutting and self-harming that stayed with me for the next 5 years. I didn't know how to process the mental and spiritual anguish I was feeling. And so all I could do was to mark that pain on my body. When I hear this story of Elijah, I can hear my own story. And I wonder if you hear your story, The statistics tell us that 1 in 5 people under the age of 18 has engaged in self-harm. I wonder if this is your story. And my friends, if you are hearing yourself here, if you do resonate with Elijah's story here, this is what I want you to hear. This story does not end. Elijah's life does not end. Elijah's life goes on. Elijah goes on to become an incredible person in the entire history of Israel. Let's find out how that happens. Verse 5. Suddenly, an angel touched him and said to him, "Get up and eat." He looked, and there at his head was a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. He ate and drank and lay down again. The angel of the Lord came a second time, touched him, and said, "Get up and eat, or the journey will be too much for you." He got up and ate and drank. And then he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights. God provided Elijah with care for his body that allowed him to go on in what God was calling him to do. Friends, I want to suggest that while it seems simple to think about sleeping and eating as just the things that we do, that these are gifts that God has given us. That God interrupts our reality with these normal everyday things to heal us. You know, there's that old joke, perhaps you've heard it, about the man who prayed every single day, "God, let me win the lottery. God, let me win the lottery. Please, please, Lord, let me win the lottery." And one day the Lord comes to him and says, "My son, just buy the lottery ticket." It doesn't take rocket science sometimes, right? We sometimes go to God thinking like, "Okay, God, if only there will be some flashing sign in the sky, if only something great will interrupt my world." But God uses a nap and a snack to heal us. Friends, do you hear me? The everyday things that we encounter, God uses to heal us. A nap and a snack are God's gifts to us. And so let me start with the nap. Chandra mentioned I get up real early. I also go to bed real early. Sleep is so important to me. Yes, thank you. I want to do a little bit of a poll here. They talk about us having different circadian rhythms. People have different times a day. How many folks in the room are night owls? A couple of night owls. Okay. How many folks in the room would say you're more of a morning bird? Yeah, ooh, okay, yeah, it's your prime time of day. How many of you would just say that you are a permanently exhausted pigeon? It's true, yeah, love that one. Well, a couple of months ago, Dr. David Swear, our psychology professor, I'm not sure if he's here somewhere, are those hands that I'm seeing in the back? So Dr. Swear gave me some homework. You thought professors were only giving you homework. No, I'm getting the homework too. So Dr. Swear, I hope I can get an A in your class. Dr. Swear gave me the homework of reading the book, Why We Sleep, Unlocking the Power of Sleep and Dreams. Man, this was such an amazing read. The author talks about the ways that sleep heals us, that sleep helps us to be better learners, to perform better on tests. Student athletes, you'll be pleased to hear that sleep helps you to perform better, to move faster, to be stronger. Sleep does all of these incredible things for our body. And that's not a mistake. Sleep is a gift from God. You know, earlier the worship team read for us from Psalm 121, which talks about the God of Israel never slumbering or sleeping. Because God doesn't sleep, we can. God doesn't sleep, we can. God gives us the gift of sleep as a way of healing our bodies to empower us for God's work. And God also gives us food. Man, I don't know if any of y'all get hangry. My husband has learned that sometimes he does just need to give me a Snickers, like if I'm a little grumpy, like, okay, sweetie, just eat a meal. You'll be better. So I don't know if y'all get hangry, but it's a real thing. Food is important. We talked about this at the beginning, right? We have all these different food advertisers that are trying to get us to buy their products. Food is important. And yet, we live in this culture that gives us such messed up images of what our bodies should be and do and look like. We go to social media and see these filtered photos, see these cropped photos and think, my body doesn't look like that. Maybe I shouldn't eat as much. And again, when we look at the statistics here, 50% of teenage girls and 1 in 3 teenage boys have used some form of unhealthy weight control, whether that's skipping meals or fasting or vomiting. Our teenage populations have not done well in thinking about what it means to nourish the bodies that God has created in God's image. Elijah gets a meal. It is from that meal that the text tells us that Elijah goes on 40 days and 40 nights. That gift of sleep, that gift of food, that is what allows Elijah to go on and be the incredible prophet that God called him to be. God uses these normal, everyday things to sustain Elijah. And that's what sends Elijah out on the rest of his mission. He goes out, he begins to engage Ahab, he begins to engage Jezebel, he begins to embody the very work that God had called him to do because he recognized that God had sustained him and fed him. And friends, I hope that's what we can be inspired by too. That it doesn't just stop with us. It's not just about, you know, making sure that I get my sleep, I get my food. But as we are empowered, as God heals us and our bodies, God empowers us to go and work for the bodies and the healings of others. And so I want to tell you a story as we begin to wrap up here today. I want to tell you a story about Fannie Lou Hamer. Fannie Lou Hamer was a renowned civil rights activist. She was born in 1917 in the deep south of Mississippi. She was born in the county of Mississippi that at the time had the highest rates of malnutrition across the entire country. Her family was impoverished. She began plucking cotton in the fields at age 6 to help support her family. And Fannie Lou Hamer was born at a time when the systems and the structures of the world around her were not set up for her to thrive. You see, at that time, the U.S. Department of Agriculture had loans and subsidies that were available to farmers who were having a little problems. You know, maybe the harvest didn't come in, maybe things weren't going so well. They could apply for these loans and subsidies. But you see, at that time, those loans were only available to white farmers. And Fannie Lou Hamer and her community were black. And what that meant is that over the course of many years, the wealth, the generational wealth that came with owning land was stripped away from her and her community. In fact, from 1950 to 1964, over 6 million acres of land were taken from black farmers. And Fannie Lou Hamer was not okay with that injustice. She was not okay with bellies in her community being empty. She was not okay with there not being enough to go around. And so she, in the strength that God gave her, did something to empower others. She started the Freedom Farm Cooperative. It started with just a couple dozen acres, just a little bit of land. But land that she and her community could work together, could grow vegetables on together, could raise pigs together. And from that, she was able to empower her community to join her in her work, fighting for civil rights, fighting for her community to have all the same rights that any other American had. She recognized the power of food to empower the world around her. And so, friends, this morning, we've heard examples from Elijah. We've heard examples from Fannie Lou Hamer. And I wonder where you are. As the worship team comes up now, I wonder where you might see God at work in your life. What are the everyday places that God might be intervening to bring healing, to bring faith, to bring power in your life? And I also wonder if there were parts of this that resonated with you in your struggles. I know that during the dark years of my adolescence, I was ashamed. I was ashamed to tell anyone what I was feeling. I was ashamed to tell anyone what I was doing. But I didn't need to be. What I needed was to hear somebody say to me, "Melly, God wants so much more for you. God wants so much more for your body, for caring for you." And if that's you this morning, in just a little bit, I'm also going to be asking our leaders, so student leaders, and if there are any faculty or staff who also want to come and be available to pray, I'm going to ask for some folks to be up here in front to pray. If that's you, if you're at a place today where you're saying, "I am not okay. I need to break the cycles of self-harm that I'm engaged in," I want you to come and ask for prayer this morning. Not out of shame, but because of what God can do to heal you. And if you are walking in a place of healing this morning, I wonder if God is calling you to take steps like Fannie Lou Hamer. I wonder if maybe you want to come for prayer and say, "God, you're doing some good things in me. You're doing some good things in my life, and I want to be faithful to that. I want to follow that. God, where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do?" And if that's you, I want you to come for prayer too. Come and seek what God is calling you to do today. Wherever you are, God is with you. God is with your body. God is empowering you. Let us pray. Creator God, you have created us in your image. You have made us to love you and serve you. And God, we thank you, for we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And God, I pray for each person here. God, I pray that you would be touching hearts, that you right now, God, would be moving, that God, you would show your love and compassion to each one gathered here. God, we pray that we would feel you, we'd be inspired by you, and we would follow you. We ask all this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.